From Matilla's Multimedia in Courtney, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm co-host Darren Howlett. We would like to thank you again for joining with us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
And thank you for tuning in again and joining us on another Edible Valley adventure.
Yeah.
And you're looking a little tired right now, Darren.
I am. I'm a little tired. At the time of this recording, we're sort of just coming into fall, and I've had a really hectic summer. And I've had a hectic summer, really filled. I think I've probably been on 20 to 24 flights in the last 3 months. If you add them all up, it's been pretty, it's just wearing.
So you should just come in and sit down and do a podcast with me.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll make it easy because we're going to bring James in again.
Okay.
Hey,
James, yeah. Thanks for joining us once again. And last time we talked to you, we were talking about fruit picking and all the great things happening at Lush. So we thought, since you're here, well, let's bring you in and we're going to talk about kids' luncheons.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Because you're supplying apples to a lot of the schools around right now. So I thought we should actually, and school's just starting up, and both myself mm-hmm. and Darren have wonderful little children.
We have great kids, and we're both involved in various elementary schools and lunches and things. We're both sort of involved in that.
You run a bit of a hot food program,
right,
for a lot of schools and prepare hot lunches for a lot of them. And I've just recently signed up again to help out with my daughter's school and their salad bar, which is kind of a neat opportunity for kids to.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Arzina convinced you to get into that. And then you've been doing it off and on as the program goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. So now I've had some freed up time. And then I thought, you know mm-hmm. what, let's get in and sort of talk about what do we feed kids nowadays anyways?
Well, that's the thing, right? Go through the summer, you haven't been making school lunches for 3 months, and then all of a sudden you got to get back into that routine. And what do you do? What can you do that's different that you haven't been doing before? Sometimes you need that inspiration. And I don't even have an answer necessarily. I thought that that's what we were going to be talking about tonight. So what, maybe you can lead here, John, like what kind of things are you thinking?
Well, you know what? I think the most important thing to do, mm-hmm. and I think the far most important thing is to sit down and actually talk to your kids about what they're going to eat.
I think that's amazing. I think that that's brilliant. I don't think kids get involved enough in decisions that affect them.
Yeah. Because this is my favorite one is my daughter comes home and I open her lunch bag and there's half of it still in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you not like this? And she does the, well, I didn't have time to eat it all.
Right.
And I was like, ouch, you know, like, I'm like, did you really not have enough time to eat it? Or were you like, you just wanted to play? Like,
yeah.
So then that's sort of that creating that atmosphere and trying to figure out what do you do with the kids? Right. How do you get them into their food? And so
to be fair though, I used to load my kids' lunch up with lots of things. I used to put like 6-7 different items in there. And I remember having a bit of a discussion because my kids are shared. My ex-wife and I, we share custody of the kids. So we'll have them where I'm packing their lunch, but then she's picking them up or vice versa. So we're not seeing the direct, you know, we weren't witnessing what the kids were coming home with. And I remember saying to her, you need to slow down on the food. You're putting way too much food in there. And she's like, oh, I only put like 6 things in there. I'm like, well, what are they coming back with from me? She's like, so much. And then I did that. I sat down and I said to the kids, you know, we put in the food that we think that you're going to need for the day. And they're like, well, that's not realistic because all I have enough time to eat or all I'm interested in eating is this, 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 this. So now I actually give them smaller lunches, but they eat it all and they don't come home hungry. So I don't know. But I'm not advocating for Michaela here, your daughter. I'm just saying that, yeah, I think that there was a while there that we were putting way too much food. So we've scaled it back.
Yeah, I've started to scale it back. And then and then talking to them and finding out. Because you know what? Mm-hmm. Making lunches, it's a bit of a chore. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a workout, especially in the morning because you're up. Especially mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a night person. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden turning myself around to being up and alive at 7 in the morning, sometimes a bit too much for me. So I look at I sat down, I did a mm-hmm. little bit of research and sort of said some things, sort of looked into some mm-hmm. things and just thought about just not even what's in the lunch, but just preparing yourself for mm-hmm. the lunch. So, you know, and a lot of things are just following of being a good being a good cook or being a chef, the classic, the old mirepoix sort of aspect of it, and making sure that before you start your lunches, you have the right supplies, you know, like the right equipment changes everything.
Yeah.
So just having the equipment for your kids, I was kind of looking at it, and you'll know this, the bento box style of container is perfect, right? So you can segment
an entire
it.
Business around it.
Exactly. That's why I thought you'd be like, oh, I had a business about that. So you can compartmentalize all the items for your kids so that you can separate things. And I think that's a little things that kids like is keeping things in separate containers and being able to build their own meals a little bit.
Well, I will say that about a year ago, and it wasn't out of frustration it didn't come from a place of being upset or angry or anything, but I just said to them, you know what, I'm not going to make your lunches anymore. And they were like, what? And I said, I want to see if you become more invested in your food if you're the one putting it together. And there are times when, but I don't keep a lot of junk food in the house. I don't keep really any, but there are times when they've put together a horribly put together lunch. And I will step in and say, do you really think that's balanced enough for your needs today or whatever, what have you? But yeah, they've gotten really good at it, and they'll even make suggestions. And then I say, like, as long as it's a reasonable suggestion, I'll go pick it up and make sure we have the ingredients in house. So,
Well, and that kind of, it's like having those ingredients there, keeping them organized.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's just nothing worse than waking up first thing in the morning and trying to find that bento box container that you had the week before. I also made sure that my daughter makes sure that she takes her lunch bag out of her bag the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always great little treats to find in there.
That's definitely a bone of contention with my kids and I. I'll get it at 8 o'clock in the morning. They're like, oh, yeah, can you clean all of these right now? I'm like, no, you're going to have to make do with something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to involve you a bit here, James, because we're sort of talking above you or around you and not really involving you. But one of the reasons that we thought that you'd be good to be in here is that you do sort of, you handle a lot of lunches for people in that, in your day job. People are coming to you you're at a lunch counter essentially in Butcher's Block. So I wonder do you have any suggestions? Do you have any?
You know, to be honest, cooking for kids is something that I love seeing kids eat healthy food, but like cooking to like kids specific meals, I kind of, that does seem like a real chore to me, to be honest.
It's difficult.
I don't, and the way I eat at home, you know, I constantly, just kind of haphazardly throw something together that's like tasty and satisfying, but like I don't know that it would be.
Yeah,
the average kid would be super stoked to have that served to them. So I don't know, the idea of having to like cut perfect little celery sticks or cucumber. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think that's really on the parent. A parent can sort of you know, kids will see how far they can take things, and they're like, "Can you make my carrots into stars?" Like if you're like, yeah, sure, why not? They're going to start wanting star carrots all the time. But if you're like, that's ridiculous. No,
sure.
No, let's just eat carrots like regular people do.
I guess the thing that does strike me is that, you know, for both of you, I'm sitting here as someone who doesn't have kids and going, wow, like that is, you do have to prepare this entirely different meal for another person. Like it's a lot of work for a whole lot of parents. And I mean, you know, to take it back to like, what I was talking about in our last podcast about, you know, the community focus. I mean, I would like to see just better food programs provided, you know, at schools. I know these are, it's a big change I'm suggesting, but you know, if the community took on more of a role, man, it would be a huge relief for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
If they didn't have to put so much, if a certain aspect of the lunch was taken care of at school, or you knew that there was actually a decent lunch program at school that was reasonable and,
Well, if you think about it too, I mean, like that's their fuel for the day. That's what gets them through. And I think not just kids, but all of us sort of neglect this. And I know I do for sure. I'm not much of a sit down breakfast kind of person, you know, but I'm definitely a grazer and a picker throughout the day.
Right.
Which is probably why working in a kitchen works for me, because I always have.
You always
got to try the soup again. You know,
isn't seasoned right?
Another bowl,
another piece of carrot here. I think I'll have that. Yeah. You know, which works out well. But yeah, it's just making something nutritious for your kids and giving it a well balancedness and giving them something. Is that a real word? Balancedness.
Yeah, sure. Sure it is. I'll for today it is.
Today it is. And just making those foods available, just giving them something to.
well, create. And that's just it. Like enjoy. I said, like I find that my kids got very much more involved in food when I put it on them. When I said, well, you know, you have to make these decisions. You're deciding what's going in. And, you know, and it shows too. So Ben, I mean, I've mentioned my kids before, and I feel if I mentioned your kids that I'm whatever.
Yeah.
But Ben, he's not very creative in food. He's brilliantly creative in other sides, but he, you know, he'll just like a ham sandwich. I'm like, oh, well, what are you going to put on your ham sandwich? Ham. I'm like, well, what else? He's like, I don't want anything else on it, just ham. And that's literally his favorite thing to take for lunch is just some ham in bread. No anything else. And he wants just a plain piece of fruit and he just wants some plain veggies and then whatever else the little snacky thing will be, whether it's crackers or whatever. Whereas Macy, if I let her, she's like, oh, I'm going to make a salad and I'm going to make a little bit of a salad dressing. And then I'm going to take some pickles and some cheeses and some what, and she'll make herself like a full,
sounds,
you know,
sounds like a little Plowman's platter. She's made yeah, herself. Right? There.
Exactly. Like she's happy to do that. She's happy to get a little more involved and a little more, elaborate. And I love it. I love supporting both of them, but I do nudge Ben in that direction of maybe we could do a little more exciting. Nope. No, thanks. That's it. That's all I want. I'm like, well, if this is what you're going to eat and you're going to be happy about it, then that's good. And it's balanced and it's nutritious and I'm good with it. So
if it's nice bread and it's good yeah. ham,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's yeah. Well, and that's it. Giving, I think just talking to them and having them part of the equation.
Yeah.
And slowly introducing new things. And, mm-hmm. and I think really, I find when I first started making lunches for Michaela, mm-hmm. I was overthinking it.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm like, how do I make a chicken cordon bleu to fit in her lunch? Like, no, this doesn't work. Yeah. I'm like, I just have and, to yeah, cut other some
seven,
cheese.
Yeah, other seven-year-olds aren't taking, I mean, I know she's not seven now, but I mean, at that time,
yeah.
probably like.
Yeah, yeah, she's not getting this.
Yet. Yeah.
Mind you, you know, we get sushi in there sometimes and, yeah. you know, like there is some more creativeness coming mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. she's really getting into salads.
Oh, but good.
I've always had Michaela's always hated mm-hmm. sandwiches.
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't
and
know
so
that.
And so really trying to push sandwiches on her has been like, no, no,
right.
no, not going to do it. But now I've found that if I switch up from a sandwich to a bagel
right,
or to a muffin mm-hmm. and something, then there's a bit more flexibility.
Right.
Croissants, she loves them. So
yeah.
But if it's just bread, no, it's not going to happen. So.
Yeah, and my, you know, not to get into my own business or whatever, but I originally started doing the kids' lunches years ago. I think it started about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, as a way of keeping my other business, which at the time was the sushi truck, the Kama Bento. I was trying to find a way to purpose that throughout the year because I was only using it through the summer. And I thought, oh, how interesting that I should be doing something that follows the school year. And then somebody, a friend at the time, said, well, why don't you do something for the schools? And then immediately I was also, it was literally within a 2 week period. Then I realized that my kids brought, that school had just started. My kids brought home this hot lunch program menu. And it was like Taco Time, Tim Hortons, and we're not affiliated with these people. We're not throwing them some free publicity, but it was like Taco Time, Panago.
It's the fast food chain.
Yeah. And it was just, I was disheartened. I was like, this is what we're doing. Like, this is what we're giving the kids. This is the hot meal that's supposed to be like that great alternative to your cold bagged lunch. And
I still remember as a kid, McDonald's day.
Oh, wow.
And they get the cheeseburger or hamburger and french fries.
We didn't have anything like that.
Sorry to interrupt you there. We actually have a number of schools in the Valley coordinate mm-hmm. with us at the Butcher's Block for their school hot lunch programs. And
that's fantastic.
It's been just a few schools in the time that I've been there, but we do for them, you know, spanakopitas and veggie samosas, chicken samosas, and then sausage rolls, which of course are just immensely popular. But
I remember the first time I met you.
I was a kid and I could get sausage rolls. Like, I remember that would have been heaven.
I remember the first time I met you and you were behind the counter with somebody else and I was picking up some stuff. John and I had another business at the time and I was picking up products for that. And there was a sign that said, something like the greatest sausage roll in the world.
Best ever
sausage roll in the world. And I was like, somebody said anything else? And I'm like, I guess I'll get a best ever sausage roll in the world. And you're like, come on, you can't say it like that. And I was like, okay, I want a best sausage roll ever in the world. I ate it, and I have to agree, as a connoisseur of sausage rolls, as somebody that loves them, that's hands down easily the best one I've ever had in my life. And so I still get them all the time.
Yeah. So do you go in there now, and you went, I want the best! Like, you're going to scream that across the place.
Yeah.
only when they're out, which they sell out so fast.
They go through for a few, and it's almost unfair to like start getting the kids hooked so early. But what I wanted to say there is we have these, you know, teachers, volunteer teachers, whoever's coordinating that school hot lunch program contacting us and saying, what are some things that you could do for our hot lunch program? And it's a tough answer for like, you know, given the resources at the butcher's block, you know, there's a lot happening there, and there isn't like a big kitchen prep space to do a bunch of school hot lunch things, unless it's simple, like the Hispanic competence, et cetera. But what are, you know, I've racked my brain. What are those other things that we could be providing to the school? Or maybe maybe the schools just need to have an effective way to wash a soup pot.
Right.
Or, you know, because often they're like, well, we need no mess. And like,
Well, they said that all these is,
you know.
Yeah, I like you bring this up because that's being part of the salad bar program.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting because it's because it coincides with the hot lunch program.
Right.
But the hot lunch program has lots of volunteers and people want to be involved with it because it's easy. Mm-hmm. They come in, they grab the hot lunches, they give it to the kids, they leave.
Right.
No one holds a knife.
Yeah. But the salad bar is, you know, you got to come in, you got to cut all the lettuce. Mm-hmm. I mean, they boil the eggs, because they got to have protein, they've got to have a well-balanced, there's some cheese on things, and they've got to, so not only is there this group putting together, spending like four or five people putting together these ingredients, and then there's a group that's serving them. And so, yeah, it's a buffet, but you've got kindergarten kids going through. So
there's going to be some snotty, dirty hands going into all those. If you didn't have people
kindergarten kids, you don't even think about this. They can't work a pair of tongs.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of work to be able to squeeze those things, or when they do it, it explodes everywhere. And so it's a little bit of having someone to get those and just getting that line going. So I know we've got 173 kids, I think, lined up for.
Wow. So is that all, like, how many of the kids are having this? This salad.
This
like
is only the kids that signed up. So the parents pay.
Oh, I see.
I don't even know how much it is, but they pay for the month, and then the kids get to come down and have the salad bar as part of their lunch.
Right.
Perfect.
Well, and like I said, so like the whole reason that I got involved in doing what I did was, I mean, you were there for some of the growing pains of it, but at first I was just doing the sushi because that's what I was doing. I made little mini bento, which was I still offer those. But that was sort of what it hinged on. And I'm like, no, we can do better. I can do better. And then I showed John a menu that I'd handed out to everybody. And then all of a sudden we were in business together in something. And he's just like, Jesus, like some of these are going to kill us, you know, like but I was looking at it more like, how can we make sure that the kids are getting good, nutritional and warm and what have you. And yeah, we took a huge loss on some of them, but it was just a matter of, you know, we were really trying to target and get these kids eating good food. And then, I think I'm 5 years in now that I actually think about it. I've now got a menu. I've got 8 items. They're all
streamlined.
Easy. Yeah. They're all streamlined. They're easy to prepare. They're straightforward. There's nothing in there that kids find icky, and they're balanced and they can be delivered fast and hot and whatever. And so, I mean, you were talking about like, what else can we do? I'm like, 5 years in, I'm still working and massaging the menu. It's not an easy answer. You gotta, kids, even generationally, like every 3 years or 4 years, their tastes change. I couldn't sell a grade 4 kid a bento when I first started. And now all of them love it. But like grades 4, 5, and 6, not interested whatsoever. I would say they were all being bought by kids in grade 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, times change.
Yeah, yeah.
Other foods coming in and going.
Yeah, it's fabulous. There used to be the time when it was the peanut butter and jelly sandwich was the traditional in everyone's lunch.
But I mean, regardless, wherever this lands, I do like the fact that there are conversations about this. And I do like the fact that more people are paying attention to the fact that our kids need good, healthy food and good, healthy food options. And I you know, invite everybody else to keep this conversation going, because there's lots of answers. There's no final answers.
Yeah. I don't even think we've talked about good foods for your kids to eat. I think we've just talked about...
Sorry, no recipes today.
No recipes. So maybe something we'll revisit after I've done a couple of salad bars. And
yeah. I think we should do a couple of these throughout this school year. I think that'd be great to sort of track it through the year. What's going on.
It's kind of interesting. And it's nice to have that conversation. Like I sat down with my daughter tonight before the show. Mm-hmm. And we had dinner, and I was just like, and she's like, well, you should really talk to me if you're going to do this episode. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
She should have been here.
She was like, maybe we can bring our kids on and have them sit down. I think that's brilliant too. So that could be a fun episode.
We've got, between the two of us, three kids that are very opinionated on food. So I think it'd be great to have them sit in.
Yeah. There could be some arguments, a little fighting, but it'll definitely work out. But yeah, it was just interesting to talk to her and just be like, She's interested now in having her own salads, and she gets to make her own salads. So the dressing's in a little container, her salad's there, and all the ingredients so she can mix it herself. And yogurt and berries, she's in love with it. And having a little cooler pack in there always makes it healthy. Yeah, I used to get grief about cheese. So I'd be like, oh, put a little piece of cheese in there. She's like, I don't like cheese. I'm like, well, what's wrong with the cheese? She's like, it gets all soft, and it's not very good. And she's like, I like it firm and cold. And I'm like, that's
fair enough.
Fair enough. I'm like,
so do I.
Yeah. And I'm not like, I'm like, well, I could give you some blue cheese, but she's like, that's not going to happen. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's just my thoughts on this. And thank you guys for coming in and chatting with me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we should do a thank to our guests for listening to us.
Yeah.
Actually, we should just, James can do a little Lush Valley thing if. Just because you're a member of that, and if people are interested in learning a bit more about food, Lush Valley is a great place to go to. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a website or email address?
Yeah, you can just find us on Facebook by Google, or Facebooking Lush Valley Food Action Society. Or you can go to, I believe it's just lushvalley.com, but I'm
a .org.
.org, thank you. Mm-hmm. Or 331-0152, also if you want to talk to a human being.
Or you can pester him at Butcher's Block. I actually shouldn't probably.
Yeah,
do
you
that.
Can say that on Mondays. I'm
on
there.
Mondays,
cutting beef
with the best ever sausage rolls. I think.
The best ever.
Arrive at around 9 for the first round.
Yeah. And thanks. Speaking of Butcher Block, thanks for being Butcher's Block is one of our key sponsors and supporters, as well as the Atlas Cafe. And Ivan's Truffles. And we also have to put some thanks out there to Kirsten Wood Music and Blaine's. Yeah, it's the Beaufort Traditional. And Matilda's Multimedia, which you can find all of these in Courtney, with the exception of Beaufort Traditional, which is in Cumberland, I want to say.
It is in Cumberland.
Fantastic. So thanks to all of them for all of their continued support. Of course, the show doesn't happen without them. So thank you. And
I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to another episode. Also, if you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Definitely tonight, let's talk about what ideas and things do you feed your kids? We'd love to hear some comments about that. And maybe we'll air that on the next time when we revisit this with the kids. We'll talk about some of those comments and see how the kids feel about those. So yes, if you could send those to us at at theedibleValley@gmail.com. Of course, you can check us out at Edible Valley on our Twitter site. Maybe we'll put some of those postings up with some kids' lunch ideas on there. Mm-hmm. Definitely follow us on all our sites, because we're on iTunes as the Edible Valley Podcast. Actually, most podcast sites, I think we've got our name out there, so check us out. And don't forget to check out our page at theediblevalley.com.
Right.
So thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.